He returned a few minutes later to tell Winters, "The people said no, they would not move out." "Follow me," Winters declared. He went to the front door, knocked, and when a woman answered, he announced, "We are moving in, now." And he and his staff did just that as the Germans disappeared somewhere. Did I feel guilty about this? Winters asked himself in the interview. Did my conscience bother me about taking over this beautiful home? No. We had been living in foxholes in Normandy. We had been in the mud at Holland, the snow in Bastogne. Just a few days earlier, we'd seen a concentration camp. These people were the reason for all this suffering. I had no sympathy for their problem, nor did I feel that I owed them an explanation. Nor did the enlisted men have the slightest problem, physical or psychological, in taking over the SS barracks, an Alpine-style apartment house block that was the latest thing in modern design, plumbing, and interior decoration. Officers and sergeants got sumptuous homes of Nazi officials perched on the mountainsides overlooking Berchtesgaden. Winters set up the guard around town, mainly to direct traffic and to gather up surrendering German troops to send them to POW cages in the rear. Private Heffron was thus in command at crossroads when a convoy of 31 vehicles came down from the mountain. At its head was General Theodor Tolsdorf, commander of the 82nd Corps. He was quite a character, a 35-year-old Prussian who had almost set the record for advancement in the Wehrmacht. He had been wounded 11 times and was known to his men as Tolsdorf the Mad because of his recklessness with their lives and his own. Of more interest to E Company men, he had been in command of the 340th Volksgrenadier Division on January 3rd in the bitter fighting in the Bois Jacques and around Foy and Noville. Tolsdorf expected to surrender with full honors and then be allowed to live in a POW camp in considerable style. His convoy was loaded with personal baggage, liquor, cigars, and cigarettes, along with plenty of accompanying girlfriends. Heffron was the first American the party encountered. He stopped the convoy. Tolsdorf said he wished to surrender. Heffron summoned a nearby second lieutenant. Tolsdorf sent the lieutenant off to find someone of more suitable rank. Heffron, meanwhile, seized the opportunity to liberate General Tolsdorf's Luger and briefcase. In the briefcase, he found a couple of iron crosses and 500 pornographic photographs. He thought to himself, a kid from South Philly has a Kraut general surrendered to him. That is pretty good. Everyone was grabbing loot at a frantic pace. German soldiers were everywhere.